Lord, our God, thank you for the privilege we have. Here we are, ordinary people in Toronto, and you are Almighty God, the creator of the universe. It boggles our mind how big it is. There are more solar systems and constellations and systems of stars in the universe than there are people on the earth. And we're just such a small corner of this universe, and you know us. You made it all, and you know us. It takes billions of years for the light from the farthest stars to reach us. And yet, you know what's going on there the same moment you know what's going on here. And you're the awesome God who knows our hearts and loves us. Thank you, Lord, that we may worship you. Thank you that you didn't want to leave us in our predicament, whereby in our natural selves, sin and death would, in the end, have the last word over us. But you didn't want to go through eternity without us. So you sent your Son on an errand to take our sin on himself, our death on himself, to break the power of sin and death so we could have eternal life and enjoy a part of that now and in fullness in the future. Thank you, Lord. That's your love. We couldn't have done that. Lord, we pray, thank you for our salvation in Jesus Christ, our hope, but which is also your hope, your inheritance, because you created a universe that's good. We're the ones who messed it up. But your inheritance is to have it restored and have people you love on it. And you've made us part of that. And you've called us to live out that reality now already, even though it's not completed yet. Guide us, Lord, in our daily personal challenges and global challenges as we live out this reality that we are your people in a world that you have not forsaken, that you are upholding and you will renew. Lord, we pray then for our friends in Nicaragua. We pray for the churches there. We pray for all the work that's been done by Resonate as well as World Renew. Lord, we pray for the many other congregations and all the people of that nation who feel unsafe right now, where the government's ability to provide safety and law and order around the nation is severely compromised. Lord, send your Spirit. Guide national leaders. We pray that you will work in the unfolding events, that order is restored in a way that builds up and encourages and brings hope and is wholesome for people's lives. There are various ways to restore order, and some of them better than others. We pray that good order may be restored. We pray for those who work with Resonate Global Mission as well as World Renew and other mission agencies who've had to leave that country. They probably left with heavy hearts, not exactly wanting to do so because they leave so much behind. Comfort them and guide them as they pray for that nation. Lord, we pray for our own province of Ontario as there is a new premier designate and a new government coming into place. We pray that good cabinet ministers may be chosen and they face issues that are big. All those who lead us in government face matters that are not easy to work through. We need your blessing on them, and we pray that you will guide all who govern us, federally, provincially, and locally. Give them much wisdom. We pray, forgive what is sinful. We pray, build your church in this nation. We pray that you will build your church of the body of Christ in this nation, people who call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and find in him their salvation. May they be fruitful in so many ways in their neighborhoods, and just showing love to others and being transformed people in our workplaces and in our schools and in the way we vacation. We pray, bless your church in Canada, and renew it and strengthen it and add to it. May there be many who now are not part of the family of God, who will be brought in to know Jesus Christ and have eternal life and live out that eternal life here in this life. We pray, build your church in this nation. Bless the proclamation of your word. Bless the Bible studies that happen. Lord, we pray, bless this nation in the light of Supreme Court decision that came down this week, that Trinity Western University's freedoms of religion were not upheld in the Supreme Court. Lord, we pray, guide this institution as it now needs to rethink what they're doing and how they will do it. Give them much wisdom. There are so many people across the land who wonder what this will mean for freedoms of religions across this country. Lord, guide and bless The courts and all the people who think through the implications guide our hearts and minds for so many institutions as they wonder what the implications are. Father in heaven, we pray, watch over the Hatfield family that gives thanks that their son, grandson Will, we pray for his continued recovery. The surgery went well. His little child who had heart surgery in Sick Children's Hospital. Lord, we pray that you thank you for the surgery and may his recovery go very well. Lord, we pray for the Metz family as they deal with so many realities regarding the health of both Willard and Tina. We pray for them. Guide their hearts and minds. Give inner strength and your peace during this time and healing power. Lord, we pray for the Hilborn family. Thank you, Lord, that Maggie is doing so well, so much more than one could have expected. You have blessed richly, and we pray that you will give Maggie a wonderful, full recovery. Lord, guard this family in your peace during this time as so much is in turmoil. While they're glad, there's so much in turmoil as well and still wondering what the future will hold. Lord, we pray, guide them through this time with your comfort and provide a community around them that supports them. Thank you for medical staff and technology. Lord, we pray that you will give Maggie a wonderful recovery and bless her friend Alyssa, who cares about her so much. And on this Father's Day, Lord, thank you that you are our Father, that you tell us to call you our Father in heaven. You are not only the creator of heaven and earth, we're adopted into your family. And we pray that all who are fathers here may glorify you. And we pray for our sons and grandsons who are fathers. Give them wisdom, we pray. Guide them in your ways. Bless our denomination. Since it is concluded, we pray that you will bless its effects and guide those who implement decisions. We pray for this congregation and all its well-being and every part of its fellowship. Just as people have coffee with one another, or as council meets, as the custodians do their work, and the facilities are rented out, in all the aspects of this congregation's life, bless it, we pray. Guide our hearts and minds now as we come to your word. We pray that you will bless the reading of your word and its proclamation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, the privilege of reading God's word together, and this reading of Scripture will be from Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 to 14. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 to 14. Just before we do that, I just want to say it's a real blessing to be here, a privilege to be here. This building holds warm memories for me. It was 36 years ago that I was a candidate for the ministry at 25 years old, and Holland Marsh Church had called me to be their pastor, and I needed to do a classical examination to see whether my biblical knowledge and theological knowledge was up to snuff to be a pastor, and I sustained that examination right in this room. It went well, so I have positive vibes about this place. So many other connections, too. Probably the longest connection is with Dave Jansma. I remember when I was 7 years old and my father was going to go into pig farming. I remember standing in your dad's pig barn with my dad and your dad, and my dad was asking your dad for advice on how this should go. That's a wonderful memory. And there are so many others in this congregation. Bill Van Geest isn't here today, but he was the one who welcomed me as a freshman to Trinity Christian College and made me feel welcome on the soccer team there, and also invited me to a Bible discussion that was held on Tuesday nights. Bill was really helped me in being welcoming there. Trudy, you were part of the hospital chaplaincy committee with me in years ago in Classes Toronto. So there's so many others I've come to know over the years as part of this congregation. And those who I haven't met before, we're brothers and sisters. It's great that we can be here together and worship today. Let's read Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 to 14. Hear the word of God. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, He predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. He made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times had reached their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. In him, we also were chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to put our hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him. And from here on, the rest of the passage is sort of my theme for this morning. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. So our theme is the Holy Spirit as a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance. Congregation, beloved of our Lord Jesus Christ. I was asked, when contacted about bringing a message here this morning, I was asked to do a message on the Holy Spirit. It's a good thing that you are continuing the theme of the Holy Spirit after Pentecost. You're lingering on that theme as a congregation for a number of weeks so that it's not just once and done with Pentecost. And at first, I thought, well, I don't know, what do I have? But this theme came to me that's actually been a very important theme for me, the Holy Spirit as deposit. It's guided a lot of my thinking about the Holy Spirit, a lot of my thinking about who I am as a believer and who we are as believers in the world and the work of God's Spirit in this world. This phrase, the Holy Spirit as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come, is one that comes up several times in Paul's letters. Here in Ephesians chapter 1, it comes in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, it comes up in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, in exactly those words. It comes up in different ways as well in Romans chapter 8, where it talks about our adoption as God and to sonship as well in Christ. It says, we who have the first fruits of the Spirit, we have that beginning of something in us that's going to be greater later, that deposit. Different language for talking about the deposit guaranteeing what is to come. And in 2 Peter, it talks about guarding the good deposit. So this is common language, the Holy Spirit as a deposit on something more that's coming in our lives, guaranteeing our inheritance, the guarantee of what is to come. A deposit, you buy a home or you buy a car, and if you're buying it on credit, you put down a deposit first, and that says to the bank or the creditor, yes, I'm putting down this deposit, and the rest is coming. I'm good for it. You can see I've got this much already. Well, to start with, what is this all about? To start with, it's a theme that fits in with the name of Pentecost itself. I understand Jeff Wishart brought the message here last week. And at the beginning of that message about the Holy Spirit's work in speech and in language, translating the message of Jesus for people in different times and in different places, the Holy Spirit's work at that, as he brought that message, he introduced it by saying that the Pentecost was actually an Old Testament feast. It was in Hebrew, it's called Shavuot, and the Jewish people still celebrate it today. It was a harvest feast, and it was called the feast, also called the Feast of the First Fruits. Every year, The people of Israel, as they gathered their harvest, at the end of the harvest, would take what they called the first fruits and bring it to the Lord. It was a gift to God. And it was a way of saying to God, we're thankful that you have given us this harvest. And we're giving you this first fruits from it. And it's a way of us acknowledging that although this is just a part of the harvest, the whole harvest really comes from you and belongs to you, God. This first fruits is a sign that the rest, we know it's a blessing from you and it's for you. And we pray for your guidance that we may use all of its benefits as we eat our dinners, as we harvest the land and eat the produce of it. We pray that we may use all of its benefits for your glory because the whole thing belongs to you. The first fruits are a sign that the whole thing belongs to God. That's what Pentecost was about as a harvest festival, the Feast of First Fruits. Well, so also then, the Holy Spirit is called a deposit, the first part, on something bigger that is still coming. Now, what is that? That something bigger, that inheritance, guaranteeing the inheritance that is to come, as the passage says. To understand that inheritance, we need to go back to the very first chapter of the Bible, where we hear of the Holy Spirit being active when God created the world. The Holy Spirit was hovering over the face of the waters when God said, let there be light. And when God said, let there be this and that and all the other parts of creation, the Holy Spirit was there too, giving order into the chaos. And so the Holy Spirit is poured out on Pentecost in a world that has descended from the order that God gave it, descended into sin and destroyed so much of what God made good. The Holy Spirit comes into your life and in mine and through us into the world to restore and renew things the way God intended at creation. The Holy Spirit works in us toward that, and the completion of that will be that everything is renewed when Christ comes again. When the whole universe will be what God intended it to be from the beginning. Sin is not in the end going to rob God. He's going to have his creation back. His creation, which is distorted now, but he's going to have his creation back. And so, the inheritance we're talking about as Christians is your eternal place in a universe that is completely restored. When Jesus returns, he will judge everything that's evil in the world and destroy it in one instant at his return. And those who return with him, those who've died in the Lord, will come with him. The bride, beautifully adorned for her husband, will come with him, and they will get their resurrection bodies and be part of this new renewed creation. They will be raised from the dead, never to get sick again. We will be a people who not only try to, but love God with all our hearts. We just confessed that we don't now, and we prayed, God, forgive our feeble response. At that time, our redemption will be complete, and it won't be a feeble response. We will love God with all our hearts, soul, mind, and strength forever and ever, and we will love our neighbors as ourselves. And we will seek justice for others. There will be no war, no racism. There won't be any false small family squabbles either. There will be no more environmental degradation. That's not the world we have today. The world we know, it is a fallen world, with all the effects of human shortcoming and sin. We see many signs of God's goodness and the beauty he intended. There's beauty in the majesty of nature, in flowers and stars, in children's laughter and in play. But we also see sin, great and small. We have small problems and big problems. On a small scale, we have individuals stealing from each other. On a big scale, we have wars. And these are things that people hope to change, and we try to change, and we may see progress in change. And there are some nations doing much better than before, and there are individual people who wonderfully speak of God's work in their lives, and their lives are transformed, and they're much better than before. But how long will any of it last, and is there a guarantee of any of it? Look what's happening in Nicaragua. So much progress. The van der Weeses had done so many things to help individuals who had nothing to become independent farmers. To provide for their own families, they instituted in different villages ways of settling quarrels among the villagers. Dispute settlement mechanisms that had been doing wonderful things. What's going to happen to it all now? And in our own personal lives as well, we know sometimes it's one step forward, two steps back, three steps ahead in our own personal transformation. What guarantees it? The Holy Spirit starts that work in you, and it's a guarantee that one day it will be completed. One day, the knowledge of the Lord will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. As the book of Revelation puts it, God will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. That is your inheritance as the people of God who have eternal life in Jesus Christ. When you came to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you were taken out of the general family of the human race, whom God loves and cares about, but does not by nature have eternal life, and you were brought into God's family and given this inheritance. So how did you get that inheritance? How did that come to be yours and mine? That's what this passage is talking about a little earlier in the chapter, when it says, you came into this inheritance by adoption. Natural parents can give their children many things. You can give all that it means to grow up in the family that you did. You can give many things for better or for worse. You can give them an education. And you can teach them about the Lord Jesus Christ. But by nature, in yourself, in your own strength, you cannot give them eternal life or a participation in that new creation. That only happens when we are adopted out of our natural family in which we're born as part of the human race and brought into God's family. Ruth and I have two children, Jonathan and Rebecca. A few years ago, we made a will. Jonathan and Rebecca stand to gain much, at least compared to what my parents had, when we pass away, and if there's any left over in that will. But they were not born in our family. They were adopted into our family. They will inherit, the Lord willing, some things that they did not have a right to by the way they were born, but only because they were adopted into our family. So also, we are adopted into the family of God because we belong to a human race that God loves and He cares about, as He promised in the end of the flood. Even though the hearts of sinful people are sinful all the time, yet I'm going to keep the seasons going in their turn. Seed time and harvest, summer and winter will not cease. I'm going to be good to everybody as long as the earth endures. But that itself is not salvation. It's God's love, and He tells us to love people the way God loves everybody that way. Jesus said, love your enemies, because God does too. He makes His sun to shine and the rain to fall on the evil and the good. You be like Him. Jesus is referencing God's promise to Noah there. Be good to everybody, but that's as long as the earth endures. Eternal life comes for those who know Jesus Christ, who are born again by the Spirit of God. As Jesus Himself says in John chapter 3. And that's when we're adopted into God's family, through knowing Jesus Christ as our Savior from sin. And that's possible through Jesus Christ. He is the only natural heir of everything that's coming. Left by what's coming just through the natural world in a fallen world, we would die one day and be separate from God forever. Jesus would be the only one to inherit everything. But we are heirs along with Him. We are co-heirs with Christ. We're made His brothers and sisters. And that inheritance starts in you when you have the Holy Spirit inside you. The Holy Spirit, because by nature we know there is a God, but we don't know who that God is. And all the world uses their imagination to portray God in different ways. And it's in Ecclesiastes, it says, you've placed eternity in our hearts, and we know there's something more. And we have all kinds of ideas of what that might be like. But when I do many funerals, and when we stand at a graveside and somebody says he or she is in a better place, we know that our saying it doesn't make it happen. It's a fond wish. It only happens for those who know Jesus Christ. We're co-heirs with him when we're connected to him. And the Holy Spirit brings that to you, brings that knowledge of who God really is to you. And when you have that Holy Spirit, you have a deposit in you now, eternal life in you now. Jesus says, God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him has eternal life. You have that eternal life now, that life of heaven to come. It's inside you now and can never be taken away. But it's not the fullness yet. You have a deposit guaranteeing what is to come. Brothers and sisters, what a wonderful reality that is, and what a comfort. Just a few applications. Don't give up. Don't give up when inner transformation is needed in your own personal life. When you sense, as I have all through my life as a believer, there are some parts of me that are not yet as loving to God and to my neighbors as they ought to be. Don't just compartmentalize that in part of your life and say, well, I'm just human. No, don't give up. There might be times when you fail again. But what you have as the beginning that wants to love God and wants to love your neighbor is a deposit guaranteeing what is to come. And what you're going to have in eternity is that you do love God and others with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. So keep on working at that and don't give up. You have a deposit guaranteeing what is to come. Why would you indulge in what you cannot keep? Don't give up. Don't give up at cultural transformation and world mission. A transformation of the world. The Vanderweeses might be facing a disappointment now, wondering how are things going to go in Nicaragua. But should they just quit and say, well, let's just get rich with modern business instead, because who knows what's going to come of it anyway? That would be to go for what they cannot keep. Keeping up the goal of social transformation and social justice is to perceive the goal, go ahead with the goal of what God promises he will give in eternity. So why not taste more now of what God promises will be there in the end? It means also, and I hope I don't step on too many toes when I say this, you don't need any bucket lists. Now, bucket lists are fine. And Ruth and I also, after we retire in a few years, do hope that maybe we can travel a bit and see this place and that. But don't worry. If you don't get to see the Alps in this life, you've still got a million years to do it. You have a deposit guaranteeing what is to come. And there will be no fear that airliners will be shot down in that new creation. No need for bucket lists. And focus on God. Focus on God. Love him. Because the Holy Spirit, as a deposit guaranteeing what is to come, is not only a deposit guaranteeing that God will one day finalize his new creation, but it also guarantees that that love relationship between you and God is going to be completely restored. We don't always love God with all our hearts and minds. When we pray to him, sometimes we lose our focus. And that adoring relationship with God as our Father in heaven is not always what it ought to be. And so much so that when we speak of going to be with the Lord, sometimes we speak more of going to be with Uncle Henry than we do of meeting God. When I get to heaven, I want to see Uncle Henry again. And we think we're going to kind of sneak around God's throne to meet Uncle Henry over here, as if seeing God, well, maybe that's secondary. But if it's God who made you an heir of this to something you didn't have by nature, and he is your Father in heaven, focus on him. On that relationship, which is incomplete now. Our love for him is not yet what it ought to be. But it will be complete. And you will first of all love to see God who did this for you. And he says, welcome my son, my daughter. And after that, Henry, Uncle Henry will come into play. Focus on God first. So brothers and sisters, the Holy Spirit is a deposit guaranteeing what is to come. Your inheritance in Jesus Christ. And as we celebrate communion this morning, let's remember that the Lord Jesus said, do this until I come. In doing this, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. When you take communion, you are saying something by doing that. You are saying, as long as I'm in this life, where everything is so incomplete and uncertain, where I can be nurtured by my wealth and I can be nurtured in my friendships, but my main nurture for life comes in knowing that Christ gave his body and blood for me. That's the deepest nurture for my soul. That's what I feed on. We're saying something. You proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Amen. Let us pray. Lord our God, thank you. Thank you for the first fruits of a harvest in Old Testament time, but fulfilled in the Holy Spirit, the first fruits of the Spirit guaranteeing what is to come. We pray, guide us in our personal struggles where our lives in ourselves are not yet what they ought to be. Thank you that in so much as by your Spirit we want it to be right, and it's been partly made right, that it's a guarantee it's gonna be right someday, and help us not to give up. We know that the final transformation comes through dying to ourselves, and that's not complete until we're really dead. It comes through death and resurrection. But thank you that we have it, the guarantee that continues when this earthly existence of ourselves dies. Lord, we pray, bless this in our hearts and minds, and may this be a treasure, the Holy Spirit guaranteeing what is to come to every one of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.